Hello and welcome to Marycast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology. Today we're going to talk about disaster. Why will we talk about disaster? Because God wants us prepared for all things, and our peace and our joy and our trust should enable us to sustain anything that could happen, including disaster. Who was to know that the disaster of Haiti was to take place in our recent times, and the other disasters of tsunamis and earthquakes? Disasters are realities that sometimes hit certain regions of the world. How do we understand a disaster? And how should we see disaster from a providential perspective? Well, first of all, I want to talk about how Satan manipulates disasters. Before disasters happen, Satan has people acting as if God doesn't really exist. They live oftentimes in a lifestyle that does not reflect a love of God or a respect of His commandments or an acceptance of Jesus, His gospel, His church. And so there's a rather general indifference to the role of God until disaster hits. At that point, Satan tempts souls in this category to blame God. So you see, it's a divine catch-22. First of all, God isn't really in the picture. They're living a lifestyle that does not reflect Him and His gospel and His church. And then all of a sudden, when disaster hits, it's what kind of God could allow such a terrible thing to happen? And that's how Satan manipulates man. At times of disaster, both before and after, a good God would not let this type of evil happen. Well, we know that a good God has given us free will. We also know that a good God allows disasters to happen. Now, there can be endless speculation as to why a disaster happens at a given place, at a given time. Some disasters seem more proximate, more clearly proximate to places of sin. For example, there was a great earthquake in Riverside, California in the 1990s, late 1980s, I think it was, where the epicenter was right over the largest pornographic producer in the world. That doesn't seem to be happenstance. We know in the Old Testament that certainly in places like Sodom and Gomorrah, where there was a great rejection of chastity, morality, about the beauty of man and woman in terms of relationship. When that happened, that was a disaster as a result of sin. So we know that scripturally it's possible that disaster is proximate to sin of a given region. Sadly, even the place of the tsunami a few years back was in Indonesia was a place of a cornerstone of human trafficking. So we know these are possible. But is it clear that God is sending disasters for the sake of punishment? Well, I think this is what is clear. What is clear is that God permits disaster for spiritual reawakening. What is more frightening, the idea of living in mortal sin for 75 or 80 years and dying in mortal sin, or of being in a disaster where you have to look up? You look up to God, you examine your soul, and you make an act of repentance which leads you to eternal life. Well, the 70 or 80 years of mortal sin is much more disastrous than the physical disaster which causes the person to re-examine their life. And it's not just the person in the area, it's the whole world oftentimes that re-examines their life after God permits a natural disaster to take place. What we know is, and this is what we always have to be careful when we say, you know, how could God do this? How could God permit such things? We don't want to for a moment think that our love and mercy for any individual is greater than God's. That would be presumption, rather a significant presumption. Our Lord loves the people in a disaster far more than we do. And so if He allows disaster, it's for the sake of spiritual good. Again, God makes good out of every evil, even the potential evils that come with a disaster. So it's spiritual awakening. Sometimes people who would not consider looking up to God or changing their lives do so because of natural disaster. God is concerned about eternity. The secular mind puts humanity, material things, those types of security first. God, because he loves us so much, does not put those things first. He puts eternity first. And he will permit situations of great suffering, which in some sense are always affected and traced back to sin. We know that from Genesis 3:16. Sin enters the world, and with sin entering the world, so does death and disease. So it doesn't mean the location that is stricken by a disaster is necessarily a location of concentrated sin, although history has shown that to be the case as well. But in some sense, these things come as a result of sin and the need of conversion. So a good God lets bad things happen for the sake of conversion and salvation. Don't shake your fist at God when disasters take place. Thank God for the graces that come in spite of the disaster. Thank God and pray that the souls called to be affected will be affected. And then, of course, it's our task to assist with love and generosity any person that's experiencing disaster. That's a universal fraternal call. It's not for anyone to say, well, this place was known for sin. They got what they deserved. This does not please Jesus. This is not our call. Our call is not to judge hearts and not to judge the Sacred Heart of Jesus for lacking in his infinity of love and mercy for us, and to be love and support, generous, feeding the poor, clothing, all the things we know by natural law, by the law written in each one of our hearts we're called to do at a time of disaster. But my friends, I ask you, I beg you, don't shake your fist at God when disaster takes place. Thank God for the opportunity of conversion, knowing that he loves the people in that disaster far more than any of us, and let the best good come forward, both by praying for that best good, for hearts to be converted to God, and also for doing our part to help anybody in the midst of any disaster generously, as if it were our brother or sister, our neighbor. Because you know what, my friends? It is. It is our brother and sister, our neighbor. That's not dictated by geography. It's dictated by bonds of the heart. We are a human family, and it pleases Jesus and it pleases our Blessed Mother that we work together in times of disaster. But let's always keep faith that from the passion and death of disaster, the resurrection of new faith and new life can come forward. We thank God in all things, knowing that his love is everlasting. This is Dr. Mark Maravalli saying thank you and God bless.